بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah for the remaining even nights of the month of Ramadan, the daily tafsir that used to take place before the Taraweeh Salah will now take place at this time after the Witr Salah, and inshallah we will try and restrict it to just 10 minutes and not go over that. In last night's Taraweeh Salah, we commenced with Surah Yasin. And from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn that this surah is called Qalbul Qur'an, the heart of the Qur'an. In one narration of Abu Dawood, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Surah Yasin is the heart of the Qur'an, and that person who recites it and his intention is that he desires the hereafter. This is his sole intention when reading the surah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of his sins. Another narration, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that that person who will read Surah Yasin during the evening or at night, then he too, Allah will forgive all of his sins. So there are very great virtues associated with this particular surah. And in the second page, which is the last page of the 22nd juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of a certain town or city, and mufassirin are unanimous that the city that is referenced here is a place by the name of Antakya. When we translate that into English, then this, the name of the city is Antioch, which is situated in current day Turkey, not too far from the Syrian border. This was a nation or a city in which there was a group of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent multiple anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam to. And here in Surah Yasin, Allah says, إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ, that we sent two anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam to them. Fakadhabuhuma, they belied these anbiya. Fa'azzazna bithalith, so we then reinforced the two with a third. We sent a third nabi to them, and these anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam preached to them. They invited them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they rejected all of these anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. Mufassirin mention the names of these anbiya: Sadiq, Saduq, and Shalum. So these three anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam and perhaps more was sent to this nation, and they rejected them, they didn't give them a good hearing. Nevertheless, there was one person who lived on the outskirts of the city. His name was Habib al-Najjar, and he was a carpenter by trade. He met these Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. They gave him their message, they invited him to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was struck by their message. Together with this, he realized that if his people did not accept the message of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, then Allah would send some punishment, some adab upon them. So he comes rushing. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلُ يَسْعَى. Allah says, a man came from the furthest part of the city, from the outskirts. يَسْعَى, he came with purpose. And he then addressed his people saying, يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ, that, oh my people, please follow these Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. And then he motivates why they should follow the Anbiya. So number one, he says, اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجَرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, that follow these people who, number one, they do not ask you for any payment. They are preaching to you free of charge. So this is an indication already of their sincerity. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, secondly, they are rightly guided, as we can see from their life. And we find all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, Allah had given them noble characteristics and qualities. So we can see these people are rightly guided. And then he motivates and he tells them the reason for worshipping Allah. And this is the lesson for us. وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. He says that, why should I not worship that being who created me and that being to whom I will be returned? Mufassirin have written under this particular verse that logically a person in this world places his trust on so many different things. He has his reliance and trust perhaps on his spouse, or on his employer, or on the wealth that he has built up, or some fortune that was left behind for him by his forefathers. He has his reliance and trust on all of these things. But the nature of dunya and the nature of the things in this world is that these things will definitely disappoint a person. One day it will be there, the next day it's not there. No matter how loyal a person may have been to you, the closest of friends, but one day he stabs you in the back. So a person cannot trust anything of this world. This is not to say that we should distrust our spouse, our children, our parents, but to place our complete and total reliance on them, this will inevitably cause a person to suffer disappointment in his life. Here he says, let me worship, let me turn my trust, my tawakkul, my reliance to the one who created me. Ulama explain that Allah is the creator of the heart. And the heart, Allah knows how to keep the heart happy. My own spouse may not know how to keep my heart happy. My children may not know how to keep my heart happy. Yes, we'll take some joy, some enjoyment, some bliss, some comfort. But to truly keep the heart happy, this is only in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he motivates them that worship the one who created you. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ And that being to whom you will be returned. You will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why should you now worship something else? And then he goes on to explain to them that anything else that you want to worship will disappoint you. It will not be able to benefit you, will not be able to harm you. So in this particular incident we find the importance of worshipping and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second incident that is mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, which we also heard last night, shows us or motivates us to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are the two guidelines that a person leads his life with in this world. Obedience to Allah, obedience to his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just this one incident and we'll terminate. In the 36th verse of Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references the incident of a sahabi by the name of Julaybib radiyallahu anhu. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned the entire incident. Julaybib was a companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is mentioned that he was not blessed with physical attraction. He was not a very handsome man. He was very short in stature. And he was not blessed with appealing features or attractive features. And for this reason, he was not given much authority and much position in society, in his community. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the norm in that time was that whenever a person had a daughter of marriageable age, then he would wait to see, would Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam send a proposal? And if he sees Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not doing so, then he will search for a suitable spouse for his daughter. So there was an Ansari sahabi. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam calls him and he says, I wish to propose for your daughter. So this person says, definitely, O Nabi of Allah, we would be very pleased and very delighted if you would marry our daughter. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to him, hold on. The proposal is not for myself. It is for Julaybib. So this sahabi is taken aback. That on one hand, I thought Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would take the hand of my daughter in marriage. And now he is telling me it is for this sahabi. He is not very physically attractive. He is perhaps from the lower caste in society in that time. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, I will have to make mashwara with her mother, with my wife. So give me permission to go back. He goes back. He presents this to his wife. Of course, she is taken aback. She says, how can we give our daughter to Julaybib? There are so many suitors that have come, people who had wealth behind them, who had physical beauty behind them, who had status behind them, and we turned them down, and now we should give her to this particular person. This young girl, she hears this conversation of her parents, and she comes rushing into the room, and she says to them, how dare you reject the proposal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If this is his decision, and he is pleased with this, then definitely we will accept it. The narrator of the hadith mentions that her words shook her parents, and suddenly they came to their senses. The father rushes back to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, O Nabi of Allah, are you pleased with Julaybib for my daughter? He says, yes, I am happy, raditu. So he says, okay, O Nabi of Allah, if you are pleased, then myself and my wife are pleased. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then performs the nikah of Julaybib, radiyallahu anhu, to this particular young girl. And then muhaddithin mention, what was the outcome of this? That initially they were going through some difficult times. He says, years later, after the martyrdom of Julaybib radiyallahu anhu, I saw this same young girl, she had now grown up, she was in her middle age or an elderly woman, and Allah had blessed her with so much of wealth that her household or her home was the most generous home in Madinah Munawwara. Allah blessed her financially. And not only financially, but what an end Allah gave to Julaybib radiyallahu anhu. It is mentioned in one particular battle. After the battle, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks the sahaba, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ That we have all gathered and assembled. Is there anyone that is missing? So they look around, they say, La, there is nobody missing. Again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks, is anyone missing? Again, they say no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, but I cannot find one person. Where is Julaybib? So these other sahaba had not even bothered about him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then goes out onto the battlefield to look for him. And he finds his body lying amongst seven men from the enemy. He had slain all seven of them. And finally they then had wounded him and he had succumbed to his injury. And he had now gained martyrdom in this particular battle. The narration mentioned when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees him, he says, Julaybib is a part of me and I am a part of him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam himself picks up his body, and the narrator mentions that his body rested on the body of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with no other support. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam himself carried him. And then the qabr was dug and he was placed into his grave. Such an honorable end for the sahabi. The lesson that muhaddithin have then mentioned is that, as we say, do not judge a book by its cover. In this world, a person sometimes may not have much status. Nobody gives him a second glance. One alim was mentioning recently, he says that, I always remind my children and my family members that sometimes we have people working for us, perhaps in our businesses or at home, and they're Muslim. But because they come from a different country, they don't speak our language, they don't have much of worldly possessions behind them, we tend to look down on them. He says, but don't be surprised, they lead such a simple life, and they don't have any airs and graces about them. Don't be surprised in Jannah if they are above us in Jannah. Allah blesses them with that position and that status. So for us to introspect, Allah may have blessed me financially, physically, Allah has blessed me with some status in this world, but I should never look down on anyone. Ultimately, only Allah knows our end, and only Allah knows what position we will hold in the Akhirah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.